world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So we might as well admit it, we're hooked, right? We're hooked. How long have we been doing this now? This is May 2nd, 2018. We started this program on January 25th, 2016, I think. We've been doing this thing for 2.5 years, and almost all of you have been with us for two. Well, that's not true. Some of you have come and gone, and yeah, I just appreciate you so much. It gives me, you know, I get up in the morning, I'm excited about the opportunity to get on here and vent a little bit, the opportunity to get on here and share with like brothers and sisters, and to know, really, I told somebody the other day that they asked me, you have a church? Or didn't mean to make fun of Richard. He's just joined us here last few days. Richard asked me yesterday off the air, are you a pastor? And I just kind of, it's hard to put me in a peg, isn't it? It's hard to put me, what are you? I don't know what I is. But I'm excited to be here. I tell you, every time when we come on, I'm seeking the truth. I want you to know, out of the depth of my heart, I don't know the truth. I know some of it. I know a lot of falsehood. And the whole reason we come together is because we are involved in a deep, I believe, active Bible study. Now, wait a minute. Not a Bible study. What would you call it? We're on a relentless pursuit of who we are, who we came, where we came from, and where we're gone. Why we're here. This isn't just a church where you come in and we do praise and worship and take up an offering and somebody preaches. That's just not what this is about. And that's why it's not for not everybody, because all of us, including me, are getting our faith challenged every day. Every day. And Paul said to keep the faith. Keep it. Protect it. He didn't say, hang in there. You keep the faith there, Coach Dave. No. Keep it. Protect it. Be a beekeeper. Be a faith protector. To take what the Lord has given you and nurture it and guide it and guard it. Keep the faith. And I believe that along the way, we've lost some truth. I believe, according to Jude, evil men have crept in unawares. I think a lot of stuff they're teaching us isn't true. And I don't know the truth. I don't know the whole truth. And I continue to be amazed by how few Christians I run into have any intellectual curiosity about their faith. None. History. Genealogies. I don't get it. I'm taking you somewhere today, because I was really, pondered a lot after we got off the air yesterday. Been pondering for 24 hours. Great to be back in here today. So call your friends, text them, say, Coach Dave's going to go down a rabbit hole with us, and you might want to go with us. They used to call that spelunking, going into caves, cave dwelling, what we're going to try to do here a little bit this morning. A couple things I got to talk about before we get rolling into it. David Arthur, come on, the alphabet man. Fill us in here a little bit again on what's going on in Maine this weekend. Cool. Hey, go ahead, Dave.
It's only 3 more days, Coach, to the Man Up Conference. And,
Man Up.
Again, it's not a men's only conference. It's for men and women to just really stand up, take firm ground, learn how to start speaking out, learn how to make the connections that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And our speakers include, of course, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, Pastor Saul Ministries, Dr. Scott Lively, running for governor this year of Massachusetts. Myself, massresistance.org is sending Diane Splits and Alive Ministries own Christopher Kane. I posted the schedule. Everything is on the event page on Facebook as well as the website ibelongamen.com under current events. And there's no cost. We're going to have dinner Saturday night. We're going to have a service Sunday morning. So, you know, I just invite everybody to come on down and just to, if you're in New England, you should be there.
Amen. Amen. Looking forward to it. Chad, what do you got going in Texas? Folks, we're just trying to expand here. We call it building a downline, call it a huddle, call it whatever you want to. I didn't even check. Is Chad in here this morning?
Chad, yeah,
a Texas Salt and Light Brigade director, emperor, whatever it is. What's going on at your place down there in Texas, Chad?
Well, we're going to be busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. We're going to do a kickoff on those. On Friday, we'll have the beers and all that kind of stuff for anybody who wants to show up. And then we'll conclude that. But we'll kick off Saturday morning at 10 a.m. That'll be working time and all that kind of stuff. And then we've got some other festivities. And then Sunday we'll have more of the same. We'll have communion and then the Sundayisms there on Sunday. And then be conclusion after that.
Folks, I've been down to one of Chad's events. They're really, really good. They really are. They get into the Word, but they get into fellowship. They eat a lot of food. They shoot some guns. They talk about prepping. Chad has just done a masterful job with the Texas Salt and Light Brigade. So if you're down in that area, you need more information, you can get a hold of Chad. What's the email, Chad?
It's texas@saltandlightbrigade.org. But, you know, the credit really goes to the people to show up, you know.
Sure.
I mean, you got Todd Glenn and Josh and Anthony. I mean, there's a Karen, there's a lot of people that come that they're the core that, you know, they bring people or they bring something, you know, besides, I mean, the goodies. And
yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
You know, and that's
Amen.
What's great. It's the people. It's, you know, the fellowship.
It's,
you know?
It's about connecting, folks. It's church camp for adults. It's about connecting, assembling ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. Pastor Mike Spaulding, I see you're in here real quickly. Dr. Mike, can you tell us what's going on in Lima, Ohio? Coming up here in June.
Hi, Coach. Thanks for that. Yeah, June 8th, 9th, and 10th, we're holding our annual Go Therefore this year, of course, 2018. Go Therefore, that's off of Matthew 28. Go into all the nations.
Amen.
Share the gospel with them, make disciples of them, exactly what Salt and Light Brigade is all about. Coach Dave will be there. Russ Dizdar will be there. Dave Arthur will be there. Preston Condra, Kelly Condra, and I know I'm forgetting some. Mark Trump may join us. He's yet to confirm that, but he may join us. Pastor Casper will be there with us. Tom Dunn will be
there. Is that right? Oh, man. Good, 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 good. Wow.
Yeah, so
you know how it is, Pastor Mike. We start going around these conferences. You make a lot of new friends and people you want to expose other people to, and it's
yes.
kind of hard to put a menu together because you don't know who to leave in and who to leave out. And
exactly.
you know, you don't pick and choose because you like somebody. You just pick
right.
and choose for whatever, you know. So
yes.
that's June, yes. what, June 8 and 9? Is that what it is, Mike? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yep, yep. Friday night, June the 8th, we'll start at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday all day. And then Sunday just through the morning service. And so we'll conclude about 1.
Awesome, Mike. See, here's what makes what we're doing unique, I think. Most of you in your Christian life, when you do any type of Christian activity, you do it through your church. Your church does this, your church does this, your church does this. And by doing that, we limit the actual coming together of the entire body of Christ. And so one of the reasons we have these type of events is because you guys are my church. David's in Maine. Let me look here. See, let's go down this. Mike Spaulding's in Ohio. Weaver's in Ohio. Alphabet Man's in Maine. Chad's in Texas. Dale's in Louisiana. David Davis is in Florida, I think. I could be wrong. Don, I don't even know where you are. Jeff Nell's out in Jeff is in Reno, Nevada. Glenn's in Texas. George is in Oklahoma. Jared's in Maine. Jeff's in Mount Vernon. Kevin's in Missouri. Larry's in South Carolina. Lowell's in Ohio. Lindell's in, believe it or not, Peru. Stayed up. Heard from somebody yesterday, by the way. New Zealand. They're listening, tuning in every day. Ray's from all parts, wherever he ends up, but he calls Tennessee home. Richard's from upstate New York. Serge is from Buffalo. Sherry, golly, Sherry, I don't know where you're from. Southern Mofo is from Branson, maybe, something more down around in there. T-Moon, I don't even know where Mooney's from. But here's the point I'm getting. This is a body. This, we are assembling together a body, and at some point we got to get together. And so we try to do it regionally so that you can become connected from the body. I get emails every day, Coach, who can I connect with? I get all that everywhere. So we're looking for people out there who will say, yeah, Coach, connect them with me. I can't really do this. I don't know what to do with it, Coach, but connect them with me. And I say, okay, listen, can you do this? Can you take a video and play it? Can you take take 15 minutes out of yesterday's show, put 10 people in a room and play that video and then discuss it? If you can do that, you can start assembling people together. That's what we're trying to do. And then on June 15 and 16, we are having all hands on deck. Can you pull that up there, Jared? Hi, Dylan. Dylan just joined. Dylan's not getting any sleep because he's got a new baby at home. John Smith later. All hands on deck. We just put this up yesterday. We're doing that here in Ohio on June 15 and 16. This is not for the weak at heart. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay. It's going to be held at the gathering. My buddy, Pastor Tom Gill, has a beautiful facility, indoor facility. The address and everything is there. Friday, the event officially starts Friday. So you might want to try to come in on Thursday. We're going to visit a mosque on Friday. Yeah, you're going to get to do that. Takes a little bit of hair on your chest, boys. We're going to visit a mosque. Saturday morning, we're going to visit a Planned Parenthood. 11 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to go to the Homo Pride Parade in Columbus. Then Saturday evening, we're going to do some fellowship. We'll do some more teaching. We'll sit around and tell lies with each other and get to pat each other on the back. And then Sunday morning, we'll break camp and head home. Now, there's all kinds of ways you can house. You can bring a tent. It doesn't cost anything. You can bring a sleeping bag and sleep on the floor. It doesn't cost anything. You can pull in a camper and it will hook you up with a camper. That won't cost you anything. Or you can go to a local KOA and pay if you want to. You can book a hotel. We gave you a lot of places you can do that. We're 20 minutes from the east side of Columbus, Pickerington, Ohio. A lot of nice hotels over there. You can swim in Buckeye Lake. You can fish if you have time. We're 35 minutes from the airport. Everybody's on our group. We're going to go to these parades. We're going to wear a hat. We're going to wear our Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt and a hat. If you have one of those, bring them. If you don't, they'll be available. So we'll all look the same. We'll look like a team. Cost $30. Now listen to this. This includes four meals. We're not $30 and we feed you four times. I mean, can't beat that, can you? Because lunch and supper on Friday and lunch and supper on Saturday. Breakfast, we're not going to do breakfast because some are sleeping in hotel in some different locations. So just get breakfast on your own. And as Chad says, it's a church camp for adults, boots on the ground training. So you can register now online, $30 to register. And, I promise you, this will be something you will never forget. Never forget. Okay, questions or anything about that? We just put that together yesterday. Tip of the cap to Rob Pugh and Jared, who put it up there. I suppose Sarge had something to work with in there as well. But right there it is. All hands on deck. I believe it to be the most important. If you can't get to anything else, get to this. Because we're going to connect you with like-minded guys. And it will be, it's going to be boots on the ground. Going to be street activity. Say, Coach, I've never done that. I know. Come on. Be great. Anybody want to jump in?
Dave.
Yeah.
I love that we're going to the mosque. I think I'd love to have some good signs and so forth. Jesus is Lord. But I read just this morning, there is legislation moving in, I think it's Britain, that would prevent criticism of Islam. I mean, can you imagine that a religion such as Islam you couldn't criticize? But that's where things are.
Well, Roger, and we're seeing in California they're trying to ban Bibles. Basically, that stuff's going on. So we're on the cutting edge of it, man. It's right. It's here. Persecution is here. We better get ready. I know that's why Larry's working so hard with trying to point out to people what Islam's really all about. That's a noble effort. So,
all right. Hey, so that is Sharia law. That's Sharia law. That if you are not Muslim, you cannot be critical or talk about Islam.
Yeah, there you are. So that's it all comes together. Listen, this is going to be great. This will be great. I just tell you, it's going to be great. So we'd love for you to come. Please get registered so we can begin to make preparations on food and all that kind of stuff that we're going to do, okay? That's June. That's online, CoachDaveLive.com. One more thing. I got some good stuff to talk about. Bear with me a second. Just give you an update here on Jeremiah. latest update. Jeremiah is going home. And the Lord has opened up a door at a hospital in Houston, I believe, although I could be wrong. Jeremiah's body's been ravaged with cancer. Now, they did a good job. They were able to get into his lungs and drain the blood. And the blood was old blood, meaning he's not still bleeding, which is a really, really good sign. But what they're going to try to do now is Rusty went in and sat down with his son. Imagine this picture, folks. He went in and sat down with his son, his 16-year-old, just turned 17-year-old son. Sat down with him and laid the cards on the table. Says, here it is, son. You have 10% chance to live. That's what they said. And so we tried this thing in Mexico, and we ran into a roadblock there, and we came back to San Diego, and we ran into a roadblock there. We have a place open in Houston that is going to receive you. We can take you there. Imagine this. Rusty's trying to find a medical helicopter to fly in from San Diego to Houston, if you can imagine that one. Their life's been upside down for about 40 days. So they sat down with Jeremiah and said, what do you want to do? Do you just want to go home and pray for a miracle? Or you want to fight? And Jeremiah said, Dad, I want to fight. So the fight's on. And from what I understand, that what they're going to do in Houston is they're going to do some chemotherapy to shrink the tumors so that they can become operable. Right now they're inoperable. They think maybe with some of the chemicals, they can shrink it to where they can operate it. And then Jeremiah, they received news. One of the neurosurgeons said that the cancer on the spine that he had the surgery for has begun to regrow, and his questions as to whether he'll be able to walk again. We don't believe any of that stuff. We want Jeremiah to live, and we know that once he lives, that the Lord's going to restore him his ability to be able to get around. So there's your update. Dale, did I miss anything? Hey, listen, Dale's on his way. 3 more days in jail. I'm out of Facebook jail. 3 more days, Dale. I'm not going to help you. Dale's on his way to put new floors in Rusty's house so that Jeremiah can get around when he gets home. And Dale's raising funds for that. Dale, if they wanted to help you with that, where would they go? Where would they go and find out how to do that?
Well, they can actually go to my Facebook page. I've given that video, my phone number, contact. If they want to send a check to my church, obviously.
Some of them, Dale. Some of them are just listening. They're not watching. How do they do this, Dale?
Okay, they'd write a check to King Jesus Ministries, and they'd put in the memo Thomas Floor. And they'd mail it to 3900 North Turnbull Drive, Metairie, Metairie, Louisiana, zip code 70002. We have raised, oh. I want to say, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, I've just seen him driving down the road trying to write all that down. Jared, we need to, at some point, maybe tomorrow, we need to get that up on our website. And we need to just let people go to say, hey, go to our website. Here's what you do. Maybe we can tighten that up a little bit, Dale. I didn't mean to. I kind of threw that at you.
No, look, we're going to listen. I'm going to jump on the show on Monday morning. You know, tomorrow or Friday, I'll be picking up the flooring, getting the trailer ready, putting all my tools in. And, you know, it's not like, let's just go down there and put in flooring. There's a lot involved in that. And so, but on Monday morning, we'll get on the program with you. So you guys will be coming off a weekend of doing a bunch of stuff. And then on Monday morning, about 5-10 minutes into it, just because we'll be jumping right on work. and we'll be going at it. But we have raised about, I want to say, close to $1,500. So we're still a Good. Couple thousand dollars short of it, and I'm sure it'll come in. It's not a big deal. It's not a big Yeah. cost. But MD Anderson is the hospital in Texas. It's a fantastic hospital that Mm-hmm. specializes in all sorts of cancers. So,
amen, brother. Fighting for, I'd be fighting for my boy too. I know that.
Absolutely,
you know,
brother.
I'd be fighting for my boy. So we just, we continue to lift that up in prayer. Okay, can we get into it? Man, I took 20 minutes doing that. I think it's worthwhile though. Guys, try to get here in June. Try to attend all those things you can, but man, try to get here. It'll be life changing for you. Where do I start here? I'm going to start right here. Yesterday we talked a little bit about, if you remember, we talked about, trying to refresh it for some of you out there, Judaism, Israel, what it means to be a Jew, the dietary laws. We dug into a lot of stuff yesterday, and really made me ponder a lot of things. You know, why do we do what we do? Mark, I don't know if Mark Trump's in here today. Probably, I don't think he is. I think he's probably busy. I was thinking about this. The data in this book, as he spoke about the data, and I began to realize how little I know, and really how much of the stuff I know that I've just been told, I really don't have any proof of. It was like when I was speaking in one of those public schools, one of those kids came up to me and said, he didn't come up to me during the course of the discussion. He says, well, how do you know Jesus is real? And I thought, wow, first of all, how dumb are you that you don't know historically that Jesus is real? He didn't say, how do you know that Jesus was the Son of God? He said, how do you know that Jesus was real? So it shows a complete, total lack of history, knowledge of history. But then I said to him, well, I know Jesus was real because of the same way you know George Washington was real. But how do you know George Washington was real? He said, well, read it in a book. Yeah, I read it in a book too. And so we went into trouble and we tried to decide which books are true and which books aren't true. But the whole idea is you got to understand, buddy, everything you believe is based on faith. You read anything in history, it's based on faith because you really don't know. You weren't there. As Roger would tell us in a court of law, that would not be admissible because it was not eyewitness testimony. You can't say, well, I read it in this book, so therefore, I said, no, were you there and did you see it? No, I didn't see it. So most of what we know, most of what we believe, somebody else told it to us. We do not have eyewitness testimony. I can read in the Bible, and I have eyewitness testimony I can read, but it's not eyewitness testimony. Am I making sense? So we are all prisoners to what we have been taught, all of us. And so the idea yesterday that I dived into, got into this whole thing that, listen, folks, our salvation is Jesus and nothing else. It is not Jesus and following rules. And it is, you can follow all the rules you want, and if you don't have Jesus, it's no good to you. That's what they call religion. And many of us, most of us, have been steeped in religion and taken this thing that they have given us called religion, and then we try to take this little snippet and we build a theology and a church on it, and that's all we know. I shamed myself today. You know, if a guy walked through that door, I'm looking at my studio door. If a guy walked through that studio door and brought a gun in here, held up a 12-gauge shotgun and said to me, hey, Coach Dave, you call yourself a Christian? I sure do. Right? Why are you a Christian? Well, because the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Jesus said it, I believe it. Okay, I say, okay, listen, I'm going to give you a chance to save your life. And he cocks his 12-gauge. And he points it in my head and says, name for me the 12 tribes of Israel. Could you do it? If your life depended on it, could you name the 12 tribes of Israel? Any takers out there? Any takers?
No.
I see. Because we say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does matter. Can I tell you why it does matter? Let me use this term. Remember I told you guys before, a month ago, 2 months ago, 4 months ago, time all runs together, that I was a melungeon? Do you remember that? I was a melungeon. I said, what? My sister told me. Said, yeah, Uncle Bob said we were melungeons. I said, well, Uncle Bob, he's been dead for 20 years. Yeah, but he told me one time we were melungeons. And so I looked up melungeons, and I found what a melungeon was. A melungeon was somebody who lived in Appalachia, somebody who came out of Appalachia, and they were a mixture of several different. We don't really know what the mixture was, but they were a group, a race. I don't call them a race, but a type of people. But see, listen, here in Ohio, we just called them hillbillies or ridge runners or toothless wonders. But they were real people given many different names. Does anybody follow me? Anybody picking up what I'm laying down yet? I didn't even know I was a melungeon. Still don't, I'm not sure I'm a melungeon. And some of you identify with some type of heritage. It's like I walk into that class with those high school kids again, and I said to them, here you go, hang on. I said to them, hey, how many of you know your heritage? In other words, what was the nationality, I said to these kids, of your grandfather? And they get real nervous, and they say, I said, what about you, Joe? Joe says, German. The German? Really? Full-blooded German? Was both your grandpa's parents both German? I don't know. I don't know. What about on your mom's side? What were they? I think they were British. British? Oh, so Britain married a German, but not a full German, mixed German maybe, and they came and you're here. What are you? And they're stumped. Hey, Serge, what are you, Serge?
What am I?
Yeah.
French Canadian.
Oh, who was your dad?
Both my mother and father from Quebec, and my mother from Montreal. And
oh, let me say, Serge, hang on a minute, Serge. Hang on a minute, Serge. Where did your mom's parents come from?
Paris.
Both of them?
Yes.
Where did their parents come from?
Oh, boy. You got me.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It doesn't take very long till you lose who you are. Would you all agree with me on that? And isn't it amazing? Didn't the Apostle Paul say there's no Jew, there's no Greek? Didn't he say that physical genealogies don't mean anything? But there was one genealogy that really was important, and that genealogy was the perfect pure seed of the Father that had to somehow make its way, intervene, and make its way through human history, a perfect seed to come out. And that Jesus Christ himself had a very clear genealogy. You guys know that? And do you know the genealogy of Jesus? Say what? What? Yeah, you know.
Tribe of Benjamin.
Tribe of Benjamin. What does that mean? Kevin, what's that mean? Or are you just repeating something somebody told you? Listen, I'm not making fun of you, Kevin. We just blindly hear stuff and believe stuff and repeat stuff, and we don't even know the significance of what it is that we say. Are you guys with me?
Amen, Coach.
Huh? So like they say, Serge said he's a German. My ancestors were German. Oh, yeah? What part? Bavaria? Where were they from? Were they up on the North Sea? Were they down in the South? Were they in Berlin? Where'd they come from, Serge? Because that has some type of meaning. How did your parents end up there in Germany? Where did their parents come from? So we have to understand that this lineage of all of us is so clouded that we don't even really know what we are. Hey, Weaver, what are you?
No idea. I
mean, my dad. Huh? Oh, yeah, no idea. Roger, you got any idea? Roger's hiding. Anybody know who they're? Hey, Socia, what are you? I mean, what the heck are you, Dale?
I'm a mutt. I'm a little bit of. I'm a bowl of gumbo.
But see, you're not, are you? You are not a bowl of gumbo, because why? You are a new creation in Christ, see?
You're
you
right.
You have that new blood lineage, right? And Dale, listen to me, folks. This is so critical for us to understand. Every one of us have a earthly DNA lineage, and it don't mean squat.
The weavers
are about your spiritual lineage. Yeah, Roger.
Weavers are English.
What does that even mean?
Great.
Can you tell? By the way, can you tell me the I'm going to embarrass some of you guys. Can you tell me what countries make up the UK, the United Kingdom? They might even know what that is. And we're supposed to believe 2,000 years ago, we're supposed to believe that those Jews from 2,000 years ago are the same dudes that are living in Israel today or working at Bear Stearns. Tell me you're smarter than that. Huh? All right. All right. So hang on. Anybody getting nervous yet? Anybody enjoying it yet? Then, Coach, man, you got me.
Hey, Coach.
I'm just putting you through what I've been through the last 36 hours thinking this thing through. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I just went and did some research on it while I was listening. And you know, may not be able to name the 12 tribes off the top of your head, but how many people can explain who the 12 tribes are? I mean, where'd they come from?
Well, Larry, I got it. I'm going to show you here in a minute. Go ahead.
How many people would say they were the sons of Joseph? I mean, the sons of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jacob had 12 sons. But when you look in Numbers, chapter 1, you find there are 14 tribes listed, not 12.
Well, Larry, since you've, what time is it? Oh, man. Since you've cracked open the egg, Jared, go to.
Amen, Larry.
Jared, go to 12 tribes. Now, this blew me away. I'm sorry. My ignorance smacked me right in the face today. Now, this is probably the corniest video that I've ever seen. Jared, when we do play this, turn off the volume, because the volume is absolutely worthless to us. It does, and I'm going to read this. Every time, I'm trying to find you, Jared. There you are. Every time a new screen pops up, this is 3 minutes. This blows me away. I knew this, but I guess I didn't really know it. So everybody who's watching can see the screen. And if you're not watching, I'm going to read the screen to you as we go through it. Okay. And I just said, I just Googled 12 tribes. We're talking about lineage here, talking about God's chosen people. Well, that's where I'm trying to get you today. Okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this again. There ain't nothing special about a Jew. There's nothing special about a German. There's nothing special about a weaver. Nothing special about any of them. We are, when we came to Christ, all that stuff went out the window. It all went out the window. And we are now God's chosen people. Christians are God's people. You know, you guys understand. I am. Okay, Jared, let's pull this up here on the screen. See if we can get this thing rolling here, man. 12 tribes. I don't want to turn this into a history class, though. Lord knows we need one. Now, again, I got Jared to turn the sound off because it's just stupid music playing in the background. And for those who aren't watching the screen, I'm going to read it to you, okay? Pops up on our screen, here they are, the 12 tribes of Israel. You ready? Okay, here we go. And when it pops up, starts with Jacob, it says. This little guy. Okay, Jared, when this gets done, freeze it. Freeze it, Jared. Okay, now go ahead a little bit farther. There's two of them popping up. Okay, stop. Jacob was the son of Isaac. He was sent to Padan Aram to his uncle Laban, fleeing his brother's fury. Remember Jacob? Esau got in the fight. So Jacob runs to his uncle, and there he was to choose a wife for himself from Laban's daughters. It's kind of intermarrying, really. So Jacob says, Uncle Laban, I want to marry one of your daughters. So Jacob sought the hand of Rachel, Laban's second daughter, and he worked for 7 years to get Rachel, except Laban tricked Jacob into marrying Leah instead.
Are you guys with me? Follow me? We're going somewhere. Because stop a minute, Jared. Listen to me. This whole genealogy is about getting a pure seed through. It's not about anything else other than trying to get the perfect seed through. Okay? So Laban tricked Jacob into marrying his first daughter, Leah. So Jacob marries Leah. How many of you knew that? Well, none of us. Since Jacob originally loved Rachel, and Laban promised Jacob Rachel's hand in marriage, Jacob went back to Laban and said, hey, come on, dude, I wanted Rachel. So he says, okay, give me another 7 more years of labor, and we'll let you have Rachel. So Jacob marries Rachel after 7 years. So now Jacob's got 2 wives. He's got Rachel and Leah. Most of you didn't even know that. So Leah had 4 sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Wow. Did you know that? Keep going. But Rachel couldn't have kids because she was jealous of Leah. And so she had Jacob marry her maid, Bilhah. And Bilhah had 2 sons. And those 2 sons were Dan and Naphtali. Crazy, isn't it? We got 6 of the tribes now all of a sudden. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. So Jacob's working on number 4 here with me, all right? And Zilpah had 2 sons, Gad and Asher. Wow. Leah was able to have children again. And she had 2 sons and a daughter, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. Finally, Rachel had 2 sons of her own, Joseph and Benjamin. And there, boys and girls, are your 12 tribes. How many women did they come out of? When the time came, Reuben, the firstborn, didn't receive the blessing since he angered Jacob by having a relationship with Zilpah. And Joseph, the firstborn from Rachel, was Jacob's favorite and received the blessing. So now we got all these 12 tribes. What a family, huh? What a family. And out of this family, before Jacob, who was renamed Israel, after he had wrestled with the angel one night, died, he passed on the birthright and blessing to his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. In doing this, Israel was giving Joseph a double portion among the 12 tribes of Israel. And each of Israel's sons was the father of a tribe. But for Levi, the priestly tribe, who did not receive an inheritance with Israel and were scattered throughout the nations. And although no tribe bore the name of Joseph, his sons Manasseh and Ephraim, each became a distinct tribe among Israel's sons. Thus, the 12 tribes of Israel are the sons and grandsons of Jacob, Israel, who after the death of Moses took possession of the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Naphtali, Dan, Asher, Zebulun, Gad, Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. There's a history lesson, and there ain't a one of you that knew that. Come on in here. Anybody know that?
Actually, yes. Studied that years ago. And, you know, there's...
Me too, yes.
The Bible does mention the tribe of Joseph later on in Numbers chapter 13. And so, you know, if you get stuck...
Manasseh and Ephraim.
If you get stuck in technicalities, you can end up not understanding what the whole picture is.
Amen. Same thing as religion. Same thing as religion, right, Larry? Same thing as religion.
Yeah, your whole picture you presented is good. You got Joseph, whose name was later changed to Israel. You got his sons. I mean Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel. You have his sons. Now, one of his sons was Joseph. He was the one that got the other brothers didn't like and sold into slavery into Egypt. And he's the one that became probably the second most powerful man in the world as a chief treasure keeper for Israel, for the Pharaoh, and during the 7 years of plenty and all that. And Joseph had 2 sons. And instead of Joseph being numbered among the 12 tribes, each of his sons are numbered above the traditional 12 tribes.
Okay. So, Larry, thanks. It's great. My head's spinning. I mean, it's all good. Here's the point I'm trying to get everybody to see. It started from 12, and here we are how many years later, And we still want to believe that somewhere out in there, there's a perfect lineage somewhere in there. There ain't even a perfect lineage in your life. You don't even know. You can't even go back four generations and tell me where you came from. Right? And yet we're supposed to believe. All right. I hear you. Hang on. I got something else to show you. Wow. Okay, Jared. Play this video, Jared. It says, Jews are God's chosen people. It's a question mark. Time out. I'm not bashing Jews. By the way, the only Jews are those who came from the tribe of Judah. That's where it came from. The term Jew came from Judah, one of the 12 tribes. You following me? No. Go ahead, play this. This is simple.
Are the Jews God's chosen people today? It's a hotly debated question. You only need to do a cursory search of the internet.
Sounds bad, Jared.
Vehemently arguing for and against this question.
Baby Serge, Johnny on top. Serge must be that French background of yours made you do that.
Especially when you're teaching us something like this.
Huh?
Especially when you're teaching us something like this. This is important.
Are the Jews God's chosen people today? It's a hotly debated question. You only need to do a cursory search of the internet to find people vehemently arguing for and against this question. Sometimes secular rulers and politicians have even made decisions and given special consideration to Israel because of their view that the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, of course, what we want to know is, what does the Bible say in answer to this question? First, it's clear that there was a time when the Jews were God's chosen people.
Stop that, Jared.
Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6.
Listen, folks. They were God's chosen people because they had to get a perfect seed through the lineage to have the seed of the serpent crush the seed of the woman. And God chose the tribes of Israel for that perfect seed to come through. So at that point, the Jews were God's chosen people because of all the people in the world, he chose the Messiah to come through Abraham. You understand that? So nobody's questioning whether they were at some time God's chosen people. Keep going, Jared.
Amen, Coach.
The Lord said to the Jewish nation via Moses, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." But to really appreciate and understand that statement, you've got to go back to the very beginning of the Bible. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God said to the devil, he said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. Now, the seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent is a reference to Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy that Jesus would be born into the world of a woman. 9 chapters later, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God made the following promise to Abraham. He said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you." Now listen to this part. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Not just the Jews.
That too is a reference to Jesus Christ. Christ was going to be born into this world of a woman, and specifically, he would be a descendant of Abraham. Now, Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. Friends, that's the sense in which the Jews were a chosen people. It was through them that the Messiah would come. Now, approximately 2,000 years later, Jesus was born of a woman, specifically a virgin, in the city of Bethlehem, and Jesus was born a Jew. Now, folks, that is the thrust of God calling the Israelites his chosen people. They were blessed to be the ones through whom the one and only Redeemer came. Now, the question that we want to answer is this. Are the Jews still God's chosen people today? And the answer to that question is no. Today, Christians are God's chosen people. I want you to listen very carefully to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is written specifically to Christians. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Listen, His own special people. Verse 10 says this, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, who are the children of God today? Friends, it is not the nation of Israel. It is not those who are biologically Jews. Listen to Colossians 3:11. It says that in Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew. Now, what's the point? You see, your biological heritage is irrelevant today with regard to being a child of God. Listen to Galatians chapter 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Now listen very carefully to verse 29.
Wow.
And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now what promise is that? It's the promise of Genesis chapter 12. And what is the point of this text? Friends, here's the point. Today in the Christian age, anyone can be one of God's chosen children. It's not according to your biological birth. It's based on the new birth. It's based on obedience to the gospel and putting the Lord on in baptism. If you will do that, then you'll spiritually be a descendant of Abraham. And most importantly, you'll be a child of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Is that simple or is that simple? Now, if somebody want to weigh in on that? Because, listen, you have to be careful. Every video, please understand this, every video you ever see, ever watch, ever play is based on somebody's theology. Okay? You understand that? So I want you to know that sometimes when I show a video, I'm not adopting necessarily their theology, but there's something that they've said that to me says, the Holy Spirit in me says, yes and amen. So based on that right there, see, folks, listen. We're not a body. We're not a body. We are a spirit. We're a soul. We are a spiritual being. You are adopted into the family of God spiritually, not physically. The lineage of Jesus, the 12 tribes of Jesus, was required to get the Redeemer of mankind through. And when Jesus was crucified on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. I made it. I got through. And he destroyed that old religious system. At least that's the way I believe it. And I'm every bit a child of God. I'm more a child of God than Rahm Emanuel. Absolutely. I'm more a child. Who's more of a child of God, me or George Soros?
Coach, I want to tell you something. That was a very articulated, very simple laity of a teaching that, you know, I couldn't have explained it better. It was
awesome.
Spot on. It wasn't, listen, brother, that wasn't an opinionated thing. That was biblical fact, line upon line and precept upon precept.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the God's regard for the, quote, Jews, and like you say, technically, even in the Bible, Jews are specifically, the word Jew is specifically related to the tribe of Judah, even in the Bible. Not just logically and you know, thinking the language through.
Why though, Larry? Why the Judah? Because it was the seed of Judah.
Absolutely, because it was that lineage that had to be preserved in order for Jesus' life and sacrifice to count. Because only a perfect sacrifice with the proper background, proper lineage could suffice.
Matthew 20, Jared, pull that up. Go ahead, Larry. Matthew 20, go ahead, Larry.
let's not confuse the simple facts that we just saw in the video. Let's not confuse them with the condition of adoption that we as Christians receive. We are adopted into the family of God. Jesus is our brother. He was from the tribe of Judah. That means we are of the tribe of Judah. But
Matthew 1, Jerry.
Not by bloodline.
That's right. Spiritual. It's spiritual. Spiritual.
Here's Matthew 1. Thing. Larry said this word adopted comes out of Romans chapter 8, that we're adopted. From a legal point of view, which is an incredible thing, an adopted child has as much legal right to the heirs as even a bloodline child.
Amen. I mean, brother, amen. That's
a powerful statement.
Okay, boys, so here we are, Matthew 1. It's on your screen right now. The genealogy of Jesus. Remember, this is all about the seed. Remember Genesis, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. This is the whole purpose of the entire Abrahamic family, was to get this perfect seed through. It's always been about destruction of the seed. It's always been about that. The book of the generation of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brothers. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom. And Esrom begat Aaron. And Aaron begat Amminadab. And Amminadab gave birth to Nahshon. And Nahshon, he had Salmon. And Salmon gave us booze. He ran a bar. He gave us booze of Rahab. And booze begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, the root of Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon. And of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon gave us Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begat Abia. And Abia begat Asa. And Asa begat Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat begat Joram. Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Jotham. And Jotham, come on, Jared, keep up with me here. And Jotham begat Ahaz. And Ahaz begat Ezekias. And Ezekias begat Manasseh. Manasseh begat Ammon. And Ammon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brothers. And about that time, they were carried away into Babylon. Oh, interesting, isn't it? They've inserted that. I could go take you there, too. They got carried away. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel. And Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud. And Abiud begat Eliakim. And Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Zadok. And Zadok begat Akim. And Akim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, and Jesus begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was Jesus, born Jesus, who was the Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations that are from David into the carrying away into Babylon, are 14 generations from the carrying away of Babylon to Christ, are 14 generations. Wow. See, you missed that. Something happened when they got carried away to Babylon. Something happened there. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was his spouse of Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy. So listen, if we would follow the lineage of Joseph and Mary, we would find that they both came out of that root of Abraham. They both came out of that, and it gave us the perfect seed. But guys, listen, when Jesus was born and went to the cross, genealogy ceased. That's the way I read it. Jesus didn't have any natural children. The genealogies ceased. We're his children. Through adoption. We are the family of God.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Let me give a little food for thought. In all my Christian years, it's been many years now, I shouldn't say never, because Charles Jennings has given a message on this, but I've never heard a preacher give a message on Matthew 15:24. Let's just throw this out there and we can chew on it and let people think about this. But
Matthew 15:24?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus is talking to the Canaanite woman, and very simply, he tells her, he says, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm.
Jesus gave a very specific message of who he was sent to, what his mission was. And see, today people don't understand for the most part who the lost sheep of the house of Israel were. But those were the tribes, like you so adequately said today, the Jews are the tribe of Judah, but there were other tribes. And so those tribes that Jesus was sent to, the house of Israel back in the day, those disciples knew what Jesus meant. They knew his terminology. We today, we've lost that. We don't, most people don't understand the terminology.
We just proved it, didn't we? We just proved it.
Yes. Jesus specifically said, I was sent to the lost, to the house of Israel, to go get all those tribes. And there's a lot to it. But I'm going to throw that out there because I'll be willing to say most people, even on the queue, we've never been taught this. And it's very, very important because as history progresses, our forefathers that came to this covenant nation called America, other covenant nations, Great Britain, Australia, South Africa, they knew, they called themselves the new Israel. So there's more to it than just meets the eye.
So thank you, George. Very good. In fact, George, I've got an email I was going to read to you. I haven't got a chance to get to. I won't say who it was. Somebody sent an email regarding you, what you said yesterday about Edom and supporting it. I was going to share that this morning. See, listen, guys, we still don't understand the diaspora. In other words, the spreading of the 12 tribes. We don't understand it. We don't understand. And so even we as Christians, when we're thinking about the family of God, we are thinking genealogies. We're thinking religion. We're thinking nations. We're thinking whatever. We are spiritual beings. We are living in a body. But we are not physical beings. We are spiritual beings. Jesus said, God said, those who worship me are going to have to worship me how? In spirit and in truth. It ain't got nothing to do with who your daddy is. Not anymore. It did to get the perfect sacrifice through. God chose the Jews to get the perfect sacrifice through. And then no more genealogies. No Jews, no Greeks, no women, no men. Why? We are spiritual beings.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that's going to make you put your head in your hands. But my goodness, sometimes out of the mouth of a fool says truth. When Hillary Clinton was before the council of the House there, she said, what difference does that make now?
Yeah.
It's exactly what you just said, brother.
Yep.
It don't mean a hill of beans. I mean, that's great for history and learning, but brother, I am not saved because of I know the lineage. I am saved because Jesus shed his blood.
Amen. 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 And here's what I like to tell everybody. I'm a Messianic Catholic. I'm a Messianic German. On my mom's side, I'm a Messianic Brit. I'm a Messianic American. Wow, ain't nothing special about somebody being a Messianic Jew. Any Messianic Lutherans out there? Any Messianic? Are there any Messianic Christians out there? Go ahead, Dave.
You know what I say? I'm a Messianic mess.
I would agree with that. Oh, my goodness. We have got so much to unlearn. Jesus told us that we shall know the truth, and the truth, if we know it, will make us free. And I got to tell you something. We are focusing in America. Everything that we're focusing on in the church is physical in nature. Jews, Israel, Jerusalem. I'm not saying that stuff's not significant, but boys and girls, God is a spirit. We are spirits. We are adopted into a new family, the family of God. Genealogies, no Jews, no Greeks. Oh, my goodness, Lord, help us to understand that. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.